news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The U.S. Census Bureau released the first data from the 2020 survey on Monday. It shows three key states that voted for the former guy picking up seats in Congress, while two big states that backed Biden will each lose one. Texas will gain two seats. Florida and North Carolina, along with Montana, Oregon, and Colorado, will get one more seat each. California, New York, Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia will each lose a seat. The New York Times wrote, "The shift from the Northeast and Midwest to the South and West will shape Congress for the next decade." The adjustments also will boost Republican strongholds in the Electoral College. Overall, the census showed the population growth rate was the slowest since the 1930s. Now, whether that's actually true or just the result of a shoddy Trump-led census that was hobbled throughout and ended early because the administration was tired of counting or some such nonsensical reason, we don't know and can't find out. And because the census is only taken once every 10 years, we're stuck with this for a while. And by the way, for all the people who refuse to participate in the census, shame on you. New York lost a congressional seat because of 89 people. Seriously. As the nation grapples with a seemingly never-ending series of police shootings of unarmed black men, Attorney General Merrick Garland is stepping up. Just days after proclaiming that the Department of Justice would look into the practices of the Minneapolis Police Department, Garland announced on Monday that the Justice Department will also investigate the Louisville, Kentucky Police Department to determine whether it, quote, engages in a pattern or practice of using unreasonable force. This decision comes a year after officers in Louisville fatally shot Breonna Taylor. She was a 26-year-old medical technician who was sleeping in her apartment when detectives burst in with a no-knock warrant. Taylor's boyfriend fired a gun, fearing intruders, and police responded with a hail of bullets that killed her. No charges were brought against the officers who killed Breonna Taylor. Well, as the president prepares for his first address before a joint session of Congress Wednesday night, a speech that in every year other than a president's first in office is called the State of the Union, the White House has been busy. On Monday, they announced they're raising the minimum wage for federal contractors to $15 an hour. That's up from $10.95 an hour, which is far higher than the $7.25 per hour received by non-federal contractors. But it's even better than that, because this order will index that pay rate for inflation. But wait, there's more. Calling it the nation's largest summer child nutrition effort, the Biden administration also announced Monday that it will expand a key coronavirus aid program to help get food to more than 30 million kids after the school year ends. Eligible families will receive roughly $375 per child. It amounts to about $6.82 per child per weekday, though the total amount could vary if a state opts to use its own schedule. Parents can then use the funds to buy food. Children who are eligible for free or reduced price meals during the school year and those under age 6 whose families receive food stamps qualify for this assistance. And the president will seek $80 billion to fund enhanced IRS enforcement of high earners to help pay for his American Families Plan, which he will unveil later this week. The reasoning behind this is they believe that the enhanced measures to crack down on tax evasion will increase revenue for the government by about $700 billion. An announcement is expected on Tuesday from the White House with new guidelines from the CDC for activities that vaccinated people may resume. This should include recommendations related to healthcare settings and whether to wear masks outdoors. At press time, the language of the new guidance was still being finalized. Stay tuned. Sadly, more guidance is needed to counter the disinformation being pushed by the actual fake news purveyors at Fox, not News.
We wear them because we have to. The only people who wear masks voluntarily outside are zealots and neurotics. How neurotic are they? A Pew survey from last March found that 64% of white Americans who classify themselves as liberal or very liberal have been diagnosed with an actual mental health condition. And you see them everywhere when you walk down the street in any major city. If you dare to go on foot from Union Station to the Capitol, for example, in Washington without wearing a mask, angry Biden voters will snort at you in judgment. How could you? They're saying from behind the gauze. How could you? That's the question we should be asking of them in return. As for forcing children to wear masks outside, that should be illegal. Call the police immediately. Contact Child Protective Services. What you're looking at is abuse. It's child abuse, and you are morally obligated to attempt to prevent it.
Tucker Carlson really said that. So stories like this are sadly not surprising. A very expensive Miami private school has informed employees that if they choose to get vaccinated, they won't be allowed near students. Centner Academy's statement repeated false claims that vaccinated people, quote, may be transmitting something from their bodies, leading to adverse reproductive issues among women. Quote, we are not 100% sure the COVID injections are safe, and there are too many unknown variables for us to feel comfortable at this current time. What? Meanwhile, the White House announced on Monday that we will send other countries our supply of the AstraZeneca vaccine. The Biden administration had already shared about 4 million doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine with Canada and Mexico. Now they're announcing plans to send doses to other countries desperate to step up their vaccination campaigns. After more than a decade, the Supreme Court is taking up the Second Amendment again. This case, which will likely be heard in the fall, centers on the extent to which the Second Amendment protects an individual's right to carry a concealed weapon for self-defense outside their home. A sharply divided Supreme Court in 2008 and 2010 overturned handgun bans in Washington, D.C. and Chicago, redefining gun rights by firmly establishing the right to bear arms as an individual right. Since then, the court's conservative majority has expanded from 5-4 to 6-3. Sadly, we've heard way too much about guns lately, including gun use by those who are supposed to be protecting us. The fatal police shooting of Andrew Brown Jr. in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, was an execution. That was how it was described by his family's attorney on Monday afternoon after they were allowed to watch a 20-second clip from a sheriff's deputy body camera. Members of Brown's family said he was shot as he sat in his car with his hands on the steering wheel. Peaceful protesters have called for the sheriff's department to release the body cam video. The sheriff has said he wants to release the video publicly but needs a court order. Well, a Republican-led effort to recall California Governor Gavin Newsom has enough valid signatures to qualify for the ballot. State officials will determine the cost of the election, which could take 3 months. Once that's all finished, the Secretary of State can certify the recall. The Lieutenant Governor will call an election within 60 to 80 days. A few Republicans have already said they'll run, including reality television personality Caitlyn Jenner. By the way, recent polls show that 56% of voters are against the recall. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.